So imagine it's the near-ish future, not the distant future, just far enough for everything to have gone wrong in ways that feel uncomfortably organized. So you wake up in a government-issued apartment that definitely wasn't built for comfort, but was absolutely built for surveillance. The lights turn on automatically because the Department of Public Motivation wants to make sure that you start your day productively. The cameras embedded in the ceiling give you the same energy as a Tinder date who keeps texting you, "Where are you? What are you doing? Want to send a pic?" Except this one has arresting power. You stumble into your kitchen, or the 4 foot by 4 foot corner pretending to be a kitchen, and you ask the government assistant, not Alexa, since Amazon was quietly nationalized not too long ago, what your morning briefing will be. And it tells you the same thing it tells pretty much everybody. Your UBI payment has been deposited. Your compliance score remains adequate. Lucky you. Today's recommended patriotic contribution is consider enrolling in National Defense Pathway C. So, Pathway C is the public relations term for the military, but with better marketing and potentially worse outcomes. This is the world you were rerouted into after AI took your job. The job you got a degree for and paid around $120,000 in student loans to qualify for. The job that some cheerful CEO assured you would always need a human touch right before they replaced you with a model named GPT Omega Professional Edition or whatever, which is basically an AI with the personality of a LinkedIn influencer and the processing power of a demigod. So you didn't get fired in the traditional sense. It was more like the economy gently nudged you off a cliff, and then it offered you a mattress at the bottom labeled Universal Basic Income, but with an asterisk. And well, what did the asterisk say? Well, it said, "By accepting this payment, you consent to monitoring, data tracking, patriotic nudges, and participation in morale-enhancing community engagement," which is basically government language for, "We'll give you money, but we're going to crawl so far up your ass, we'll know your blood pressure before you do." And honestly, you took the money. Well, because everyone took the money. And because what else were you going to do? Apply for a job at a company run entirely by AI managers who send rejection letters faster than you can type, finish typing your initials? So now you're part of the world's first unintentional draft. It's a slow, subtle migration of millions of displaced young people, mostly men, because this country has a type, into what they call national service roles, designed to give the government something to do with them. Because, as most of you know, Historically, when you have millions of unemployed youth, you tend to get uprisings. And we can't have that, right? But now, with AI policing, uprisings and rioting isn't even really fun anymore. So instead, the government found a more, let's say, creative solution. Turn the displaced population into a workforce adjacent to war without calling it war. Drone operators, cyber defense specialists, infrastructure security staff, AI supervision roles. And then, you know, if all else fails, there's always a position as a morale officer. And I think the strangest part about this is that people will just go along with it. And not necessarily because they're brainwashed. That would imply a level of intentionality. They'll go along with it because when you remove purpose from people's lives, they're going to cling to any substitute, even a government-issued one that comes with an inspirational pamphlet titled, "Your Country Needs Your Algorithmic Potential." And meanwhile, the wealth gap has gone from troubling to biblical, because now there are trillionaires who own private AIs that are more powerful than the systems running the country. And one of them has a chatbot that only speaks in Shakespearean dialogue, but still somehow manages his entire portfolio better than any human team ever could. So at this point, the rich live in these fortified eco-enclaves with vertical gardens and private weather systems, while the rest of us live under a sky that looks like it's constantly buffering. Now, of course, privacy is gone. Purpose has been basically automated. Meaning is always under government review. But hey, at least you get that $1,900 a month and discounted patriotic merchandise. And this brings us to the question driving this video. If this is the future that we're stumbling into, what exactly happens to human purpose? What are we supposed to do under these circumstances? You know, if the purpose is gone, it's the reason, you know, the reason we get out of bed, the reason you exist. Whatever thing that you offer the world that isn't just a compliance score or whatever. Because the truth is, not only did this future happen because AI got stronger, it happened because we built our entire identity on being needed. And suddenly we're not needed anymore. That's the psychological fallout and the existential crisis. And it's, you know, it's basically the quiet apocalypse that no one prepared us for. And that's where the rest of this video begins. You know, I think the strangest part about being replaced by a machine isn't actually the losing your job part. I mean, humans have been losing jobs since we've invented them, right? Every time someone came up with a new tool, somebody down the line got fired. I mean, the invention of the wheel probably wiped out an entire generation of professional heavy object draggers. And I'm sure somewhere in ancient Mesopotamia or wherever, some guy angrily shouted, "This wheel thing is gonna ruin society," right before his wife told him to please stop talking to strangers at the market. But this time is different. No, it really is. Because the machines aren't just replacing labor. Now they're replacing our identities. So, for most of human history, your purpose, it wasn't something you chose. It was in, well, it was more or less inherited. You worked the same field your father did, same trade your village needed. And you didn't wake up and ask yourself, "What is my cosmic purpose?" You just woke up thinking, "Can I survive today without being eaten by something larger and faster than me?" But then modern life came along and changed all that. And suddenly, purpose became personalized, like a brand, a personality. And then AI walked in and very politely said, "Well, I can do all of that a hell of a lot faster and better." And that's when people started unraveling. All right. So let's talk about the concept of meritocracy for a minute. This is the great lie that we're all raised on. So, we were told that if we worked hard and studied hard and sacrificed our early adulthood in a fog of anxiety and debt, we'd be rewarded. Not necessarily with happiness, though. Happiness was never technically part of the deal. But we would be rewarded with a stable, decent paying job, right? And a functioning identity and a narrative that made sense. But AI isn't just taking that away. It's revealing to us that it was really never real in the first place. Because if a machine can outperform you at your very best, what does merit even mean? I mean, imagine training your entire life to be a concert pianist, only for Yamaha to release a keyboard that plays Chopin better than Chopin, and also somehow does your taxes. Or I don't know, imagine spending 20 years becoming a psychotherapist, only to be replaced by ChatGPT, a ChatGPT model that's better, has better emotional availability than you do. Or, well, how about being a writer? You finally hone your voice, only to be told, "Yeah, we fed 4 million books into a neural network, and now it writes like Vonnegut, Bukowski, and Toni Morrison, as if they had a baby." And the baby's a lot cheaper. This is the first time ever where humans are being beaten at the things that we thought made us special and unique. And I'm convinced that that does something to the psyche. So there's a term I like to call existential vertigo. It's the feeling that everything you built in your life is suddenly weightless. It's like the dizziness that hits when your internal meaning-making system gets unplugged. AI is creating a global case of existential vertigo. People don't talk about it out loud, but you see it everywhere. You see it in the burnout that comes from pointlessness instead of being overworked. The depression that's more nowadays more philosophical based instead of chemical, or maybe the anxiety that isn't, I might fail, but what if nothing I do matters anymore? So AI didn't steal our jobs so much as it stole our relevance. And that's, you know, when you think about it, that's a far deeper wound. But, all right, here's the tricky part. When humans lose purpose, we don't just sit quietly and contemplate the void like some enlightened monk on special herbs. When we lose purpose, we tend to do one of two things. One, we either just numb out, you know, streaming, scrolling, overeating, drinking, shopping, etc. Basically modern day sedation rituals. We're really just trying to fill that silence with noise. The other thing that we do is we cling to whatever gives us a sense of agency, even if it's destructive. Like, think conspiracy theories, extremism, tribalism, collective delusion, anything that makes us feel like we're still part of the story. So this is why AI displacement is going to have consequences way beyond the economy. And when, you know, people feel useless, they tend to burn things down, figuratively and sometimes literally. I'd say if millennials were the burnout generation, then Gen Z is the nothing matters and I'm tired generation. And now Gen Alpha might be the we're all NPCs in an AI simulation, so let's just run towards the boss fight generation. And none of this is really about, I don't think it's really about laziness. It's about losing the narrative of being needed. And then we have the privacy collapse, which not only is it inconvenient, it's existentially humiliating. When every moment is tracked, when your preferences are predicted and your behavior is constantly being nudged, your sense of self, it's going to get chipped away, understandably. You become like a data set with emotional side effects instead of a person. And I think the shittiest part is we're getting used to this now. Humans, you know, we're amazingly adaptable, even to things that we absolutely shouldn't be adaptable to. So it's the frogs in the slowly heating pot analogy, right? So we're the frogs, but this pot is a smart pot connected to a federal dashboard, and the frog gets a monthly stipend as long as it behaves well. And this whole thing, this the job displacement and surveillance creep, the psychological rot, the loss of individuality, it's all funneling into the same existential question, which is, if the world no longer requires us for survival or productivity, then what's left for us to be? Non-human doings or products. Not human doings or products. Actual humans. Us. But that's the hard part, because we've never really lived in a society that valued humans for anything other than usefulness. And that is the storm that we are now heading straight into. Okay, so tech optimists, they love to say stuff like, think of all the free time we'll have. AI is going to take care of everything. Yeah, that's exactly the problem, because one day you'll wake up and realize your life is a perfectly scheduled, beautifully optimized prison. So here's the AI paradox. The more abundance, so-called abundance, AI creates, the more trivialized we become. Humans weren't designed for perfection. You know, like it or not, we were designed for struggle. Hunting, gathering, farming, avoiding bears with bad attitudes. Those things gave life some sort of meaning. The survival wasn't a goal, it was really the entire punchline. But these days we're surrounded by everything, and yet we're starving for a reason to exist. You know, make it make sense. I mean, imagine it. AI cooks your meals, cleans your home, drives your car, writes your emails, does your taxes, produces your entertainment. Maybe it even holds a mirror up to your psyche like a courteous shrink. Everything you used to fight for is gone. And it sounds amazing, of course, until you realize that your whole motivational system was wired for scarcity. Give humans abundance and we get lazy. We get restless, and we start to get a little hollow inside. You know, we chase romance because it's rare. It's difficult. We develop skills because they're difficult. There's a process to all this stuff. We work because we have to, and you know, we create because creation defines us in some way. So if you take away all the friction and paradise isn't paradise, it's like spiritual mud wrestling. And I've felt this creeping in myself. You know, a day with nothing to strive for, and I'll just find myself scrolling more. I overthink. I nap too much, repeat. So it's an insidiously comfortable, depressing void. It can be. Now, most people won't even notice it, because we have a tendency to slip into this passive consumption, where we endlessly scroll through feeds designed to entertain us, but just enough to prevent revolt. So the ancient Romans, they had their bread and circuses, and we have our algorithmic sedation and DoorDash. And abundance has become, you know, now it's become like a narcotic. Comfort is masquerading as fulfillment. And I catch myself enjoying it anyway. And that's the worst part of it. And, you know, people will tell you, but AI will free us to pursue all these higher passions. And yeah, that's the idealism talking, and we'll get to that later. But for now, let me ask you, have you met most humans? I mean, you give us freedom, and most of us just break ourselves with it. It's very common for retirees to end up collapsing not long after the work ends. And it's mostly due to an evaporating sense of identity rather than their bodies failing. So try to imagine that feeling all across society. That's the leisure trap. It's survival assured, but meaning absent. And history isn't exactly comforting. So every big leap, like farming, electricity, industrialization, the internet, all of these events produce some degree of alienation and definitely anxiety. But the challenge of facing this friction and resistance, that's what keeps us alive. Because without it, we become articulate houseplants with Wi-Fi. The paradox is that abundance doesn't really make us thrive. It's a sedative that leads us to rot. And I think the most cruel aspect to this is that AI doesn't know what meaning is. It can write poetry and make art. It can mimic empathy, but it's never felt anything like real, actual loss, regret, or longing. And it leaves us with like this polished emptiness, basically illusions of purpose with no substance. So humans, predictably, gorge on these illusions like starving animals, and then we wonder why we still feel so empty inside. So that's it. That's the emotional famine hiding behind all this. Technological abundance. And unless we cling to something real, you know, the messy human condition, we're going to have an automated and apathetic future. And it's already happening. You see it already happening. And somehow we're going to sit there and scroll while pretending that perfection matters. All right. So a few months ago, I called my bank. And there was a calm, empathetic voice on the other end. "I'm sorry you're going through that. That must be stressful." no human, just your fairly typical AI, polite and attentive, but, you know, perfectly hollow. So I hung up and stared at the ceiling for a while, and I thought, okay, now even my sadness comes with a corporate smile. Wonderful. And I think it's kind of funny in a sad sort of way, but terrifying too, because AI isn't just taking jobs, it's taking the small, invisible labor that humans have always done for each other. Social graces, right? Manners, patience. And I think the part that hurts the most is that we're just handing it over willingly. We're evolving to train ourselves to prefer a completely frictionless, vapid existence, and in doing so, we're volunteering for our own obsolescence. And I'm seeing this everywhere now. AI manages your calendar, it writes your emails, it even helps you with emotional stuff, but, you know, it can't feel. It doesn't screw up spectacularly and then lie awake in the dead of night panicking over nothing. It doesn't survive heartbreak or undergo the brutal growing pains of self-awareness and emotional intelligence. And, you know, it can mimic connection and intimacy to some degree, but it can't risk or care enough to be messy. And that's exactly why it's brilliant and horrifying at the same time. You know, we humans have pretty much already outsourced most of the things that once made life human. Like, we've outsourced memory to phones, directions to GPS, obviously social life to the apps, self-worth to likes, imagination to content. And now AI is politely asking if it can take care of the rest, such as your decisions, your identity and personality, and so forth. I mean, let's admit it. Most of us would say yes without hesitation. Why wrestle with being alive when a machine will do it cleaner and faster, and not to mention without any judgment? Even just on a social level, AI changes everything. It can moderate a forum, craft a genuinely heartfelt reply, send a condolence note or whatever, but it can't be humanly awkward in a way that matters. It can't laugh at the wrong moment. It's not gonna fumble its way through a conversation like a human and survive it. All those fragile, ridiculous, unpredictable moments are what hold us together. And if you strip them away, you're left with a bunch of optimized noise. And I've felt this creeping in, like a subtle emptiness, and as all this digital automation becomes ubiquitous. I don't think AI isn't evil. It's just extremely efficient. I think the real danger, the evil, comes from us. Our unhealthy dopamine addiction and the other unresolved parts of our unconscious. This goes beyond our eagerness to outsource work. It drifts into the deeper issue or concern, having a lack of responsibility for our own lives. You know, we've already given so much of ourselves away. I think the question now is, what's left when friction, risk-taking, and every imperfection totally disappears? I think about that a lot, and it's a little unsettling. You know, maybe it's the only part that matters. That awkward and idiosyncratically stubborn human part. That's the part AI can't touch. And somehow, that's what keeps me showing up in the morning, even though the world we're in now feels like it's being run by a developing psychopathic level of perfection. So I keep thinking about what's left for humans once AI takes everything else. When the jobs, emails, therapy, playlists, art, music, basically the entire emotional landfill we used to call daily life. Strip all that away, and what are we left with? Not much, right? And yet, somehow, weirdly enough. So, I've observed myself making some bad decisions in my past, which in retrospect was just me trying to feel something firing in my brain besides low battery or something. You know, this would include falling for the wrong people, having mini meltdowns over songs I'm clearly too old for, marathoning the same shows I roast. These are some of my weird human fingerprints. AI will never understand the subtle art of self-sabotage. And I know some of you know what I'm talking about. Meaning is another one. I've spent way too many nights staring at my ceiling like it's supposed to hand me a revelation, trying to stitch together some sense of purpose using nothing but anxiety and bad lighting. AI can generate a poem about heartbreak or a motivational thread about discovering your true self, but it can't actually sit in heartbreak. It can't ruin something beautiful, lie to itself convincingly, and then curl up afterwards, whispering, "Well, that escalated quickly." But I can, in all its beautifully ugly humanity. And don't even get me started on emotions. I've felt that sharp 2 a.m. dread when I realize I've really screwed up, like cosmically. And I know some of you know what I mean. So, AI can mimic that tone and the cadence. It can even pretend to apologize, but it doesn't spiral. It doesn't laugh at the wrong moment or grieve over something stupid like an old voicemail or, you know, a discontinued snack or something. It doesn't fall apart and then slowly patch themselves back together with duct tape and delusion. Humans do that. I do that, and it's ridiculous and sacred at the same time. Then there's connection. I've been in friendships that function like small, beautiful car crashes. It's chaos. But somehow it was exactly what I needed. I'm thinking about the late night confessions, the awkward silences that last a little too long, the terrible jokes that only land because they absolutely shouldn't. AI can replicate the words, right? But it can't sit in the discomfort and be confused with me. And it sure as hell can't share the weird and the raw, the unfiltered chaos. That's ours. And underneath all of this is a choice. Awareness. Even if the whole world is automated and polished and optimized within an inch of its life, I still get to choose how I screw up. I still get to care, worry. I get to give too much or give too little. I stumble through things like a drunk philosopher. I fail creatively. I laugh at myself. Once in a while, I cry just enough to stay human. And that is the whole point. Because, well, here's the thing. Humans were stubborn. We're stubborn little beasts, right? I can be ridiculously stubborn. But ultimately, we're only replaceable if we hand over the keys. And I'm not doing that. Not yet, anyway. I fall. I fumble. Maybe I embarrass myself. I keep trying regardless. And that messy, painful process, that stubborn refusal to be smooth and efficient, that's real growth. That's the one thing AI can't automate. And I don't ever want it to. Okay. Here's the plot twist in this whole AI devours humanity saga. It's not really the machines I fear. It's what comes after. When there's nothing left to hide behind. People keep saying, oh no, the robots will take our jobs. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, buddy, you hate your job. Your job hates you. Your boss probably hates you. The only thing holding your relationships together is the shared trauma of commuting. That's if you commute. This isn't about labor. It's more about identity. The moment you strip away what you do, you're left with who you are. And most of us have never really stared that question in the face sober. So what grows in the vacuum of obsolete careers, algorithmic perfection, and government surveillance? I call it the purpose economy. Not the job or productivity economy. And also not the if you survive long enough, you might avoid debt economy. The purpose economy. This is what happens when survival is mostly automated and productivity is handled by machines. This is the economy where humans are more or less forced, sometimes kicking and screaming, to figure out why the hell they're here. So here's what I've noticed. Value shifts from labor to contribution. AI can outthink you and outwork you. And probably out emotionally regulate you at this point. But it can't start a garden that feeds a neighborhood or talk a kid into thinking for themselves instead of memorizing. That's basically currency now. What you give other humans, not the company. Not, you know, GDP. And then there's UBI. Or what I like to call UBC. Universal Basic Containment. This is where governments hand out a little stipend, right? But it's less charity and more of a quiet bribe. Here, take this money, stream, or whatever. Don't complain, and just stay in your lane. And frankly, most people are going to take it because circumstances will be dire, and existential freedom is terrifying. It's kind of like jumping off a cliff and realizing you forgot your parachute. But some of us will indeed refuse the pacifier. Some of us will find purpose where AI can't follow. Raw human things. Like, I don't know, talking someone through a breakup in the middle of the night or slowly building trust in a new neighborhood. Like sacrificing time, pride, or sanity for love or just for principle. AI can't touch that. Purpose isn't efficiency. Purpose is choice. Plus chaos. And collaboration with AI isn't a war. It's tumultuous. It's weird. There's a codependency of sorts. AI handles the how, but we handle the why. And the why, well, that's everything. It's where we screw up and, you know, sometimes have a nervous breakdown, but still somehow feel alive. Now, the purpose economy isn't going to be neat. It's not going to look like a career ladder with a shiny corner office at the top. It'll probably be chaos. Painful, but nonetheless beautiful. And I, for one, am ready to roll up my sleeves and help build it. Not for profit or validation, but because it's mine. And because for the first time in centuries, that's finally allowed. And, you know, honestly, it's about time. All right. So, here we are, standing at the lip of the algorithmic cliff. We've got 1 foot in the old world where we pretended our job titles actually meant something, and the other foot dangling over a future where your job title is basically something like idle human unit. And people keep asking me, well, what's the solution? Like I have some enlightened monk answer hidden under my shirt or something. As if there's a TED talk out there that can rescue a civilization currently drowning in microchips and subscription fees with billionaires building bunkers like it's a doomsday hobby. So here's the truth as I see it. We're going to have to build meaning ourselves, finally. After outsourcing almost every other part of being alive, this is the one thing that we cannot hand off. And I can tell you right now, it's going to be painful and somewhat hilarious mess, that process. But at least it'll be ours. I've pretty much stopped expecting any institutions to help. They're too busy duct taping the economy to a collapsing wall and praying that nobody sneezes too hard. Meaning isn't coming from them, obviously. It's coming from us. The anxious philosophers, the quiet weirdos, the people that keep a tab open titled Cosmic Dread at all times. Basically me and, you know, maybe you too. So in a future where AI does the labor and the government does the watching and, you're left standing or handling whatever emotional meltdown arrives at 3 p.m. for no reason, here's what forging meaning might actually look like. First, relearn the lost art of voluntary effort. I'm not talking about grind culture here. I'm talking about choosing to do something difficult purely because it matters to you, even if you're terrible at it. Maybe build a crooked bookshelf, learn welding, grow tomatoes you'll probably kill the first time or two, write something that nobody will ever read. Maybe AI can optimize your life, but only you can decide to spend a Saturday wrestling with a hobby that makes absolutely no logical sense. That's where purpose actually hides, in the beautiful inefficiency in the moment. All right, second, build small human circles, because the big ones are cooked. The big ones have always been cooked. The nation state is far too big to give a shit. Most online communities are contaminated with trolls or bots, and your workplace is basically a ghost town. So I would try to find a few real people. And I know that's not easy nowadays. I don't know. Something like start a book club or a backyard garden, or maybe a philosophy night in someone's dim apartment where the lighting is moody and the honesty is hopefully phenomenal. I think purpose has always grown. It's always grown best in cozy, but in imperfect spaces. Third, get uncomfortably good at self-honesty. Sometimes I spend nights thinking about what scares me, what I'm avoiding, what I'm trying to heal from. Am I being true to myself? Is what I'm telling myself necessary? And if so, can I say it with kindness? You know, humans try to be the most logical creatures, but I think we put emphasis on being more, we should put more emphasis on being more self-aware ones, however painful that might be. All right. Fourth, practice meaning instead of hunting it like a treasure. Try to show up. Try to care. Participate in your own life instead of binge watching someone else survive theirs. I'm looking at you, social media. Meaning, it doesn't sit at the top of a mountain. It shows up in tiny acts that whisper, I was here. And last, try to resist the soft, warm, enticing seduction of passive living. That's, in my opinion, the bigger threat than AI. It's the temptation to get so comfortable and self-medicated that you forget you're supposed to be steering the ship. Don't let the machines turn you into a spectator. You're a half-broken hot mess of curiosity and potential. As Charles Bukowski once said, your life is your life. Don't let it be clubbed into dank submission. So, if you feel lost right now, good. It means you're still feeling something and you're awake. Yeah, AI might steal our tasks or our routines, maybe even our identities, but it can't touch the part that chooses. And as long as that's still alive, I don't see humanity ending. Maybe it's finally beginning. All right, that's all I've got today. As always, thanks for listening.